My name is Dan Ober, if you don't know who I am. I had the privilege of officiating Jamie and Guy's wedding in June. What a blast. They're such great folks, great people. I'm just honored to be their friend. And I'm honored to fill in this morning. Let's say a prayer, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of just being together and gathering in your house. Help any words that I say not to get in the way of your word and what you want to communicate to people. Thank you for the way you use us all the time. Sometimes when we have no idea that you're doing it. As you bless this time in Jesus' name, amen. Well, waiting and hoping. Let's talk about waiting and hoping. I'm going to give you a quote to start out with. This is from Alexander Dumas, who wrote The Three Musketeers and Count of Monte Cristo, all those swashbuckly kind of adventures. He says this, "Live then and be happy, beloved children of my heart, and never forget that until the day that God will deign to reveal the future to man, all human wisdom is contained in two words, wait and hope." So let's talk about waiting. Why on earth does God make us wait all the time? Seriously, all the time. It's always about waiting, waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Why does God keep telling us to wait? Well, most of your parents, right? Why do you tell your children to wait? I don't got time for that. Most of us realize that kids can't have everything they want when they want them, or something awful happens. They expect it all the time, right? They get what we call spoiled. It's torture to a kid to hear the word wait. It was a torture for me to hear it all the time. We always hear the same things. Wait for dessert. Wait for the movie to start. Wait for the birthday party. Now it's wait for Christmas. Wait, wait, wait. It's a good thing, however, and I'll tell you why. One of my favorite Christmas movies of all time is It's a Wonderful Life. Everybody seen that one? Hey, anybody not see that one? Hey, got to watch that today. Get on it. Old movie, kind of corny, but beautiful because it's about a man who spends his entire life waiting. George Bailey is a guy from a small town that is very smart. He's very accomplished. He can conquer the world. He knows it. He wants to do great things. He wants to travel. He wants to be an adventurer. He wants to build great things. And he spends his entire life waiting for that to happen. All the time. Full of promise when he's young, but he never gets to leave that small town. He never gets to leave it. His sense of duty always keeps him staying there. To whether he has to cover for his dad when his dad passes away and take care of the company, cover for his brother because his brother gets married. He's covering for somebody and everybody all the time, being responsible all the time. His sense of duty compels him to stay, but every single time he has to stay, you can see his heart's breaking every single time. When does he get a chance to flourish? When does he get a chance to have his time, to do what he knows he can do? He's still a great man who does great things in a small town, a champion for others, a big fish in the small pond, but eats at him that every single time he's missing out on all the good stuff, the things he dreamed about. It's not until he has the threat of losing all that that he kind of comes to his senses and realizes, if he didn't have what I had, I would be lost, completely lost. My life would not be worth living. An amazing thing happens to him. He realizes that if he didn't have any of that, what he thought was just stuff that he had to live with, his life would be empty. And truthfully, when he realizes that, his life has actually been fantastic. Even in that little small town, not going to those big places, not doing those great things, his life has been fantastic and wonderful all along. I think that's what waiting is all about, really. That sense of we always want something more, we want something more, we want something more. We realize what we're missing out on is there's great things happening all the time, and we're not paying attention most of the time. We don't see it most of the time. We take it for granted. You may think Belfair is your Bedford Falls. I'm stuck in Belfair. I'm never getting out of Belfair. We live in Union, another small town, never getting out of Union. There's amazing things happening right here. It doesn't have to be somewhere else. God is doing things all the time. Advent is a season of waiting. It's essentially training us to wait for the good things to come. Anticipation of the great celebration of Christmas. And not just the celebration of the manger scene, of baby Jesus, of the historical facts of the resurrection, of all that. It's also the anticipation of Jesus coming back, coming again, restoring all things to right again, making all the injustice go away, the pain go away, the death go away, That's what we really, really are waiting for. It's a long wait, over 2,000 years. And we are constantly, constantly moaning and crying about that. We should. How long is it going to take? How long, God, is it going to take for us to have everything be right? When is it going to be finally over? When do we finally get see all the pain go away? There's Psalms all about it. How long, oh God? How long must we wait? The beautiful thing is that God does not leave us waiting, just waiting. He gives us something else, that second word, which is called hope. Now, hope is not necessarily sometimes what we think it is. It is not wishful thinking. Okay, hope is different than wishes. Wishes are important. You want to wish for things. It tells you what your heart wants, what you would desire most at the time. I wish I had a new bike. I wish I could always be happy. I wish my pain would go away. I wish there would be some peace in my family. Those are good wishes. That's not the same as hope. Hope is different. Because hope is not just wishing for the end of the story to come. Hope is living and trusting that the end of the story has already started. It's already happening now. Hope is seeing that God's promises are happening now toward that end. Those things are already starting to happen. Hope is choosing by faith to believe that even when it doesn't feel like it. There's a lot of times when it doesn't seem like good things are happening, when God is not doing his promises, when it's not happening the way we think it should, we have to trust that it's still happening. That's what hope is. It's living by that faith. So let me give you the verse for today. It's Romans 5. This is from the Phillips translation, which is an old translation, but I've always loved it. Romans 5, 3 through 4. This does not mean, of course, that we only have hope of future things. We have hope for joy right here and right now in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop into a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. In a sense, God is training us like we train children. You learn how to wait. You learn how to wait. And as you learn how to wait, you start to see things differently than you did before. You start to realize that things that are hopeful are happening all the time and will not disappoint us. Now, I'm a big fan of C.S. Lewis. You guys like to read C.S. Lewis or not? I know he's been a long, long time ago, but I still love to read him. And he did a series of radio messages back in the 1940s about what Christianity is. And he kind of put them all together in a book called Mere Christianity. And so if you ever want to see those radio addresses in print, it's a great book to read. It's just a bunch of talks he gave through a period of time about what Christianity really is. And he has a great segment he does in there, my favorite segment, favorite chapter of that is called Let's Pretend. I read that chapter over and over again over the years. Pretending is a great thing when it's used correctly. There's two kinds of pretending. You can pretend to try to be someone you're not to fool somebody. That's one kind of pretending. Put on a show, put on a performance, put on a mask. Not in a physical sense, but just kind of pretending to do something you're not in order that you can kind of get by with something or not let somebody know what you're really doing. That's one kind of pretending. The other kind of pretending, the one that's healthier for us, is to pretend in order to become something else, which is what kids do when they play dress up. When kids put dress-up clothes on, they're trying to pretend something they want to become. Whether it's a superhero, a nurse, a doctor, an astronaut, a cowboy, they are pretending to be that, and by pretending to be that, they become like that. So that is what kind of pretending that we want to do, is how can we become more like Jesus? We kind of have to pretend a little bit, or a lot, depending on the time, for sure. God calls us to put on Christ, essentially kind of putting on, just like Jesus, our children put on outfits and costumes and stuff like that. Put on Christ. I'm going to put on Christ, and so I can act like Christ, even if I don't feel like Christ or have nowhere close to what his heart is really like. I'm just going to act like it. That's the kind of pretending that God encourages us to do. And that's done in hope. That pretending is done in hope. We're going to act like the new kingdom's already here, even if it doesn't feel like it. He's encouraged us to pretend with each other, which is probably the most important of all. So we're going to act like we're in a play in church and pretend like the kingdom has come. Yay! Because the kingdom has come. It's just not fully realized. So our pretending means this. If we're having a conflict with someone, what do? I'm going to pretend that I have the capacity to forgive that person like Jesus does. And I'm going to do it. Whether I feel like it or not. Whether it comes natural to me or not. I'm just going to pretend. That doesn't mean phony. It means I'm going to just put on Christ in this situation. If you have an issue where somebody needs something in this body right here, how can you fulfill hope by pretending? if someone needs a new bike and you hear about it, what can you do? You might have the means to buy a new bike for them. You might not. But maybe somebody has a bike. Maybe if you talk to each other, you just figure out that there's someone that can provide that. Maybe somebody else has a need for someone to sit with them as they go through a hard surgery or a procedure, somebody who's lonely. You putting on Christ is just choosing to be Christ in that moment, to sit down and be with that person, to act like Jesus is here. And in a sense, he is. His is in you. That kind of pretending is the kind of pretending Jesus wants us to do. Jesus said this one time. He was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And he said, the coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, well, it's over here or it's over there, because the kingdom of God is already in you. Kingdom of God is already in you. You have the great opportunity to practice that, to pretend that, all the time. All the time. You have opportunities every single day, every single moment to put on Christ and to pretend. And that is acting in hope. Because we know it, a lot of times we don't feel like it. And we don't feel very Jesus-like. That's definitely true for me. And in doing so, the body of Christ becomes the body of Christ in lots of ways. Is there any way that you can be a body of Christ to each other today and act out that hope? If someone is feeling in despair or losing hope, if they're tired of waiting, is there any way you can encourage them to have that hope? Because we need each other to encourage each other to stay on task, stay on the hope altogether. That's why Jesus says really strong things sometimes, like this one. If you're bringing an offering to God and you remember that your brother is angry at you and holds a grudge against you, leave your gift and go be reconciled with your brother. It's more important to God that you reconcile with your brother than bring him an offering. That's how important it is to Jesus. That's that important. Go be reconciled first, then bring your gift. Don't bring your gift to me when you've got something you can be doing to put on hope, even myself. Now, there's an old saying, anything that's worth doing is worth doing badly. Right? If it's worth doing, you got to start badly. We heard a beautiful trumpet solo up here. I'm sure you didn't play that way the first time you played, right? You got to start by doing something badly. You got to start by practicing and trying. That's the same thing when it comes to love. It's the same thing when we try to pretend to be Christ and put on Christ. It's going to go bad. It's worth doing anyways. It's worth doing it. We're going to be bad at it. That's what the church is. It's kind of a sad sales pitch, but here, we're the church. We're bad at loving. That's us. But we keep trying all the time. That's the difference. We have hope that we're going to learn how to love. We're going to do it. And we got the power of Christ to help us do that, for sure. And so that is the way to live, hopefully. It isn't that our lives are better than others. It's not that we have less problems than anybody else. Matter of fact, we might have more. I don't know. Whatever drew you into this body of Christ drew you in because you wanted something. You wished for something. You're hoping for something. It may not occur the way you want it to, but it can occur. It occurs more if you are vulnerable enough to let people know what your needs are. And it occurs more if people are okay with, oh, I'll respond to that. Even if I'm going to do it poorly, I'll respond to that. I'm going to try. I'm going to put on Christ anyways and give it a shot. And then you become the church. And then you become hope. And then people around you start to go, well, there's something different about you. You have a different way of looking at life, different way of dealing with things. It's interesting because your church seems to respond to you a lot. They bring you stuff and they take care of you, and that is your witness to the world. The church does that for each other. A local body of Christ is one of the most powerful things in the world. Because we can talk globally about global problems and we have a lot of stuff, and those are all good things to pray for. But really, when the rubber meets the road, hope is lived out right here in this building, in this community, in your homes, on your streets, after school, at night. That's where the hope of Christ happens. The kingdom of God is within you, not out there somewhere. It's within you. So I hope you can do that, and I want to encourage you to do that for sure. I'm going to go off script a little bit and share with you something that was kind of a cool thing that I got in the mail, and that is, this is a really beautiful thing from Liberia. Has anybody heard of Liberia? I know where that is. Yeah? Somewhere in another country. Good answer! Liberia is a small country on the western side of Africa. It's called Liberia on purpose because it's for liberty. It was actually formed as a colony for slaves that were freed in the 19th century and wanted to get a chance to go back to Africa. So a colony was formed at the west side of Africa to send folks who wanted to go back to Africa and go as free people. And the capital city of Liberia is Monrovia, which is named after James Monroe, our president at the time. So that whole country still speaks as its major language, English, which is very rare in Africa, for sure. But they've gone through a lot. They've had lots of issues between the colonized people coming in and the tribal people that were still there. There were class differences a lot. There's been conflicts. But nothing has been worse for Liberia the last 30 years. They had two major civil wars, one at the end of the 1980s and one at the end of the 1990s. And these wars were horrific. 300,000 people killed. Lots of orphans created. And so when those orphans were created, the orphanages were overflowing with children. Some friends of ours that we live next to in Leavenworth, where we used to live, heard about the need and actually responded and wanted to adopt a couple of kids. And then some of their friends also adopted some kids from that same orphanage, and another family did the same. And in so doing, they got to know a reverend there by the name of Joseph Cummings, a priest there, that helped to run that little orphanage and helped kind of make that orphanage work. And he kind of helped them with the adoptions and all that stuff and got the adoption successful in the United States. But as they talked to Joseph, they said, what can we do to help Liberia? Liberia's terrible shape. People suffering everywhere. We can, you know, send money and food and rice and all that. And Joseph said, the number one thing that people need is education. In Liberia, the only way to get educated is to pay for education. And most families can't afford it, so kids don't get educated. So there's no hope for them to get out of the lifestyle they're in. It's just survival, survival, survival. We need an education. And so what happened was they started a school called Hope International School. And different families decided to start supporting that school, including our family. And they started in 2008 with their first set of students. They had 400 students and 12 teachers, if you can imagine. Any teachers in that group? They have now 1,200 students and 70 teachers. They are now doing programs that actually have job training. This is actually made by a program they just started this year called So Much Hope. And what they do is they actually have people trained in tailoring to make clothes, not only for themselves, but for people in the neighborhood for small fees. And so they made us this, to all our donors, these little Hope quilt things. It was really, really cool. But to me, that is personified what hope is. Hope is more than pie in the sky when you die. It's how do we live today? How do we touch each other today? We're not going to be good at it. It's okay. Make mistakes. Try. Make an effort. Make a difference. I mean, back when we first heard about this little school, I had no idea this was going to get this big. In only about 10 years, it's gotten that big. And to see the pictures of the kids and the cards that they send us and so forth that show how much hope they have in their eyes, that some of them want to be doctors and lawyers and do great things, just like George Bailey. Want to get out of Monrovia, see the world. Some may never leave Monrovia, but they're going to bless Monrovia everywhere they go because they have hope. And hope makes all the difference in the world. So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for the gift of hope, and thank you also for the gift of waiting, even though it's painful at times to wait. Because in waiting, we learn how to be you, learn how to minister to one another, we learn how to be your hands and feet, we learn to put on you and pretend to be you. Thank you for making us become you by being faithful in doing so. Help us to remember that we have always reasons for hope in every situation, because you are our hope. In Christ's name, amen.